Blog Talk Radio.
Have been picture perfect.
as far as no wind. Now, it's still overcast. It's London. I mean, what do you expect? Still overcast. So, yeah. You know, that's going to be what it might be. Today might actually be a little sunshine, I see. But, again, no wind. There's been no wind. Now, that could change tomorrow, which will make tomorrow a must-watch because they're calling for heavy winds tomorrow, and that can change. That can flip a British Open upside down, inside out. That's what makes a British Open just so crazy, is when the wind, forget about the rain, when that wind starts blowing, it really brings the tour, it brings the players, these world-class players, to their knees. So tomorrow the weather is supposed to get, you know, like I said, the wind is supposed to be supposed to play a factor in the final round. It would figure that it would be the final round that the wind finally shows up. But through these first 3 days, first 2 days, and including today, the conditions, you can't, if you're a golfer out there, you can't ask for better conditions. I mean, you can't. No, relatively no wind. And you know, you see Mark Calcavecchia here on the 11th hole. He's also 4 under. Seems to play well here as well. Then later in his career. So you can't ask for better conditions. So Tiger, again, if I'm somebody, I'm not worried about Tiger Woods right now. I'm not. I'm looking at Tiger as just another, you know, golfer who's in contention, or maybe he's not in contention. I mean, 6 shots back. Again, you know the story with Tiger Woods. He's never came back. He never came back when he's trailing a major. Never. In his whole illustrious career, as Adam Scott here is going to attempt a birdie for a tie to a share of the lead, and he almost just misses it. Adam Scott, of course, is another guy who, you know, very good player. I'm not going to call him great, but very good player, not to win a major. At one point, he was one of those guys who people were calling best player, not to win a major. But, you know, kind of calmed down over the last couple of years, and he was struggling. Woods attempts a chip shot out and almost makes it, similar to what he did at the 18th hole last yesterday, but does not make it. He'll, you know, get he'll par for the 5th hole, and well, this might be for birdie. I think this is for par, just stay four under on the tournament. So I believe this was that was a birdie attempt that he just missed. But you know, Woods. Again, it's been the same story. We've said this repeatedly. Third round of a major tournament where he just can't put it together. I mean, you thought after that chip from the bunker on 18 yesterday that he was going to be able to generate some momentum going into Saturday, and that, you know, that would kind of carry him into being in contention on Sunday, and that has not been the case. It has not been the case. He doesn't even look confident. Doesn't even look. I mean, you can tell his body language. It's almost like he's hoping more than knowing that he's going to succeed. And, you know, that's not the Tiger Woods we have been accustomed to seeing over the course of his career. As that was four par, he's 4 under through 5 holes. So still has plenty of time left on the front. Still on the front nine. So still has plenty of time left. So it should be a very interesting British Open. As Ernie Els just birdies a hole. Birdie's the 7th hole. He's now 5 under, so he's certainly in the mix of things. So this is gonna be a wild finish tomorrow with these wins. Again, I want to see Snedeker. Snedeker is a very good player, but he's not a top player. So I want to see him under the pressure of a major Grand Slam. Never won a Grand Slam in his life. That's a whole nother ball game when you're trying to win your first major. I don't care if the pressure's on or not. I don't care if you're well known or not. It's still a lot of pressure when you have a major, have a chance to win a major, and you know, you have a chance to win your first major. So we'll see how that works out for him. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We have plenty to do on this busy Saturday morning. NFL training camps start next week, so, you know, we'll touch on that next, in the upcoming weeks, start our NFL previews. But when we return, we will have Saturday morning headlines and also some Major League Baseball Friday night action. 9 minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 21st of July, 2012. Saturday morning headlines. Penn State's President Rodney Erickson is going to decide within the next set by this weekend whether or not to take down the Joe Paterno statue. Now, keep this in mind. NFL Network reporter Kim Jones has tweeted yesterday, either Thursday night or Friday morning, that the statue will be taken down before this weekend is out. And then ESPN's Bonnie Bernstein confirms that report. So it sounds like, Kim Jones went to Penn State. She's an excellent reporter. Doesn't just toss things out there just for the sake of, popularity and, getting her name, just to say it first. So I put a lot of credence into what Kim Jones says. She's been all over this Penn State saga since it started back in November. So she tweeted. She came out with the tweet. Was the first one on top of it, and sounds like that statue is coming down before this weekend is out. Of course, they're not going to announce what day or they're not going to announce what time. It's probably going to be somewhere, middle of the night. Who knows? But before this weekend is out, more than likely that statue will be taken down. Rodney Erickson, of course, announcing yesterday that it'll be the decision we made in the next 72 hours. There's a close circle of people who already know when that statue is being taken down. Just to make the announcement in the next 72 hours was just, I think, to kind of throw students off, throw people who might try to protect the statue, and what have you. So I think they knew going in when exactly that statue was coming down, and it should come down. And that is the poll question of the morning. Should Penn State take Paterno statue down? Yes, I'm going to answer. Yes, it should be taken down because Penn State, and we harped on this throughout the course of this whole, ordeal, that Penn State has to remove themselves completely from Joe Paterno. Now there's also been talk about even taking his name off the libraries where he donated millions to. I wouldn't care whether they did that or not. They could, to be honest with you, because he did donate millions of dollars into those libraries. So that's more of a business thing, and they are libraries. So I wouldn't have a problem either way. But the statue has to come down. Cause to me, the statue is something. Every time if I'm a Penn State alumni, if I'm a student, if I'm somebody who has kids, every time I see that statue, I'm thinking about Jerry Sandusky and this whole, just tragedy that took place over the years with Sandusky and those children. So from that standpoint, it's almost symbolic of that. That statue had to come down. And it sounds like all indications that statue will come down before the weekend is out. Again, Kim Jones of the NFL Network reports that statue is coming down before the weekend is over. And again, I put a lot of credence to what she reports. Miami's at it again. The Hurricanes just can't get right. Allegedly, Miami's former Miami booster Sean Allen assisted Al Golden's staff with recruiting. Now, Allen was, if you remember, worked for Melvin Shapiro, who engineered that whole Ponzi scheme, and he's in jail right now. Melvin Shapiro allegedly gave Sean Allen $200,000 to lure recruits, wine and dine the whole nine yards, and it's coming out that Al Golden did have knowledge that Sean Allen was involved with his recruits. Now, of course, Golden is in complete denial of it. He stands by his record as a coach and, the whole nine, trying to clean up the program. Yahoo Sports reported this. And Yahoo, if you remember, last August broke the story of Melvin Shapiro and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he had donated to the program and what he had done. He was on the sidelines. That was one of the biggest stories in sports at that particular time. He's in jail, of course, right now. So, you know, the saga continues. You know, we talked about Penn State possibly, you know, canceling football for the year. How about Miami? How about Miami permanently canceling football? How about that? How many times does this program have to go to the depths, have to start over before you know, the NCAA and everybody else gets that? It's never going to be clean. I mean, would it be the worst thing if they took away Miami football altogether? I mean, how many violations can they get? Can they have? And this is not over a span of 40 or 50 years. This is basically a span of, say, 20 years that all this stuff has been going on. 25, 30 years. This is not one thing with Miami, it's another. You know, Sean Allen, Sean Allen could have no part of that program, considering his connection with Neville Shapiro. So that makes it an automatic NCAA violation if this stuff comes out and if it's true. And again, Yahoo Sports does an excellent job with their reporting and with breaking stories. They don't just break stuff just to break stuff. Yahoo reports it. They've spent ample hours, years, sometimes even years, in terms of investigations and, you know, interviews and things of that nature. Yahoo does not just break anything. So when Yahoo comes out and says it, you know, I pretty much take it to the bank with Yahoo reporting that. So we'll see what happens. Again, Miami, you know, it's just the definition of a can't get right. Al Golden, who, you know, left Temple in good shape, as Brant Snedeker has bogeyed his first bogey of the tournament. That's why it's a major story. So Snedeker is tied now with Adam Scott. Ernie Els is tied with Zach Johnson for second place. Tiger Woods is in third place at 4 under as Els attempted another birdie at the eighth hole. Els, one of these guys who, you know, looking for one of those last majors, has won 3 majors, hasn't won one in a long time, so we'll see if he can. It was a contender at the U.S. Open on the final day, so playing well right now. We'll see how well he finishes up. 347-215-6180 is your call number. British Open going on right as we speak. Brendan Snedeker is 9 under, just bogeyed the fourfold, first bogey of the tournament, so we'll keep you up to date with that. Coming up, we have Major League Baseball, some Friday night action, a terrible loss down in the nation's capital. We'll talk about that, and the Angels keep rolling. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. We'll be right back. One minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, poll question of the morning: should Penn State take down Joe Paterno's statue? course, if you heard me earlier, I say absolutely they should. But my opinion is not your opinion, so certainly chime in on that. 347-215-6180. You can certainly chime in on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up at Cyril, or hit me up at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com on my new website. A lot of issues with the law lately, with especially NFL players. Just in the last 2 weeks, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, Dez Bryant, and a host of others. I mean, there have been at least five or six guys that have just, Kenny Britt, Jason Kidd, you know, I mean, training camps, I mean, these teams are nervous. Training camps don't start for another 4 or 5 days. And it's just amazing. I don't think the average fan realizes how much, you know, you figure, well, a guy has, let's say he doesn't have any kids. Okay, let's say he doesn't have any kids. These guys have a ton, despite the fact of how hard they may train, endorsements, how much marketing stuff they do, promoting products, what have you. For the most part, these guys have an enormous amount of downtime. I mean, more than you'll ever believe. I mean, you can't train 24/7, especially in the off season. Especially in the off season when you have no practice, no film sessions, no meetings, no games. You know, all you're doing is training. All you're doing is training. And that, you know, you train, you know, 3-4 hours a day, possibly, depending on what you're doing, or you know, what kind of training you're doing, or what sport it is, and go about your business. But, like, you know, if I'm, especially if I'm the NFL, and I don't know why NFL players just don't get that, you know, you have a commissioner who's just will suspend you and kick you out, basically kick you out of the league if he could at a drop of a dime. I don't understand what NFL players are thinking for the most part when they go, you know, get these DUIs like nobody's business. And, you know, I think it's to a point now where, you know, if I'm, you know, you're somebody in the NFL, or you're one of these sports leagues, you're David Stern, you are a Roger Goodell, that you might want to seriously consider having some type of, I don't know, oasis, some type of island. And I say this tongue in cheek, but I'm half serious on this. You might want to create a place for these athletes to go year round. You know, put a Disney World on there, put a strip club, put a training facility, put everything that you guys need. And say, hey, this is where you go. This is where you go. You have everything you need. You have room, board, everything you need to keep you out of trouble. And it's funny how this is happening, like, right before 2 or 3 weeks before training camp. Relatively, in terms of guys getting in trouble, up until the last couple weeks, it had been a quiet off season for the most part, as in comparison to some off seasons before Goodell just totally went, you know, Julius Caesar and just completely took over and imposed these, you know, personal conduct, you know, codes and all that. Now these guys have just gone nuts. I mean, you got Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, you're too old to be driving. Not have a driver. Get a driver. You're drunk, fine. Get somebody to drive you home. As Woods is just birdied the 6 hole, so he's 5 under now. He's a birdie or an eagle. I think it was a birdie. So he's 5 under, 4 back now. Still in the mix. He birdied the 6 hole. So four backups, Scott and Snyder. See, Snyder's going to come back to the pack. That level of play is, he's coming back to the pack. So if you can stay 5 under, 4 under, 6 under, you should be in good shape. But all these sports leagues need to come together and say, hey, let's create something to help keep our guys out, to help protect our guys from themselves. From themselves. Because it's become an epidemic. It's become an epidemic. And, you know, off seasons are long. NFL off seasons are the longest because the season is only 5 months, only 16 games. If you go to Super Bowl, you know, 20 games. Players have nothing to do. They just have too much time on their hands. It's too much. It's like a kid, like a child. You can't have to keep them busy. This activity, that activity. No, don't. You have something to do. Come on, come here. Yep, we're going to do this now. You have to, like, they are like big children with toys, with $100,000 toys. So we'll see what Goodell does and how he goes about handling these different suspensions. Another guy just got, you know, pulled over with DUI. Kansas City, cornerback. This guy is not a big name. His name, I can't think of his name for the life of me. So somebody out there, last name Jackson. So he was the latest to get a DUI. And DUI, I mean, that's the thing now. These DUIs, it's a new fad. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk some baseball on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. We'll be right back. After the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180. Last night, you had the Angels taking out the Rangers 6-1 in a key series as the Angels are trying to cut into that lead of Texas. Texas is still 5 games up on them, but a nice good win for the Angels. Jarrett Weaver now improves, I believe he's 13-2 on the season. Just gave up the one home run to Nephi Cruz, Elvis and that's Nephi Cruz, Elvis Andrews in the first inning. That was it. Again, that that lineup, Trumbo, Trout, Pujols, is killing people right now, especially Trout and Trumbo. That is a dangerous Angel team. This is the Angel team that we thought that we were going to see from the beginning. Pujols got off to the terrible start. They ever got Howie Kendrick going, they'd really be just outright scary. But they've got, those big, they have a big three, and they, we talk about, everybody talks about these big threes in sports. They have a big three right now, Trumbo and Trout. Trout has just been phenomenal. Trout could be the MVP of the league. Tossing Josh Hamilton and Miguel Cabrera, certainly, and Robinson Cano as well. But Angels, listen, Angels, I think the Angels are going to be the wild card team in the American League, and we'll push Texas. We'll keep Texas' interest in that division. They won't. I don't think they're going to catch Texas, but I think they will push them to where Texas won't be able to take their foot off the gas coming down the stretch. So, good win for Los Angeles of Anaheim, 6-1 over the Rangers. Dodgers take out the Mets, 7-6. Santana continues to struggle post no hitter. He gets knocked around a bit. Kemp hits a monster home run. Kemp, since he got back from the injury, has been on fire. Had a walk off against the Phillies a couple of days ago. I believe on Wednesday. On Wednesday. So he's been swinging back well. You also had the in probably the wildest game of the night. Atlanta taking out the Nationals 11-10. Keep in mind, now this game was in D.C. and they had Strasburg on the mound up 9-0 in the fifth inning. There are losses and then there are losses. I mean, that Atlanta now is only two and a half games back of Washington. They have a day. They have a three games left in this series. They have a day-night doubleheader today, and, of course, they'll wrap it up tomorrow. Atlanta could be in first place before this weekend is out. Now, the run's a possibility. I don't think that the Nationals will get swept by Atlanta, but Atlanta certainly has a chance to make hay in during this weekend. Washington, for the most part, has been good against the division. That was a bad loss last night. I mean, you can't lose that game. They're up 9-0. Tyler Clippard has struggled of late. You saw a couple of nights ago, they were up 4-1. They were up 4-1, and he gave up a couple of solo home runs to the Mets and had to sweat out a 4-3 victory. Clippard has been great throughout the most of the course of the season. Is he a closer? I mean, until you get Juice Thornton right, I mean, you have to leave him there. You have to. They had no other choice. But he's a guy. He's just a classic eighth-inning guy, classic seventh-eighth-inning guy. I don't think that he's a guy that you can win a championship with as your closer. I think they need to get Juice Thornton right and put him back into that spot. So we'll see how the Nationals respond from that. That's a horrible loss. It's a horrible loss. Oakland, the best kept secret in all of baseball. Well, they're 49-44, couple games out in terms of. I think they're only a half game out in the wild card. They get another walk off win. Their 10th of the season. Take out the Yankees 3-2. You're figuring, when Robinson Cano goes opposite field and ties the game with a home run, Yankees are going to win it. Not the case. Oakland comes right back and wins the game 3-2, and very important from a score standpoint. First time in 35 games, or in 43 games, that the Yankees have been held to under three runs or less, which is a remarkable stat. It just shows you how potent that offense is. Again, Cano tied the game with a home run, but Oakland came back with the walk-off win in the ninth inning. And again, they're doing it. Listen, I couldn't name six people off that team, to be honest with you. Cepedes has been tremendous. He's been great. But other than that, I mean, they got Tom Malone. They have people. They have just other people's junk, basically. But they what they're doing it with, they're doing it with good defense, and of course, typical Oakland, great pitching. And the question is, will they be buyers and sellers come the trade deadline? That's always going to be the question with the A's, and more likely they're going to be sellers. I mean, they just don't have the money to buy, but it's a great story brewing down by the Bay. They certainly need a new stadium. They probably need a new stadium. But they find a way every so often to get it done with nothing, because that payroll, Yankees probably have two or three players that can equate to what the Oakland payroll is. But Oakland, the A's are playing great baseball right now, 500 and are right in the thick of the wild card race. You wonder what the Phillies are going to do with Victorino and Hamels. Now, allegedly, the Phillies, of course, the trading deadline is coming up July 31st. Obviously, some of the names are like Zach Greinke was offered an extension, turned it down, 6 years, $100 million. Matt Garza, Dempster, both those guys probably going to be traded. Felix Hernandez could be on the move. He's under contract for at least another year. Might be 2014. I believe 2013, 2014, he's under contract. But there's been some rumblings about him being possibly on the move. But Cole Hamels is the big one. If I'm the Phillies, I would trade him right now and get as much as I could from in terms of prospects, and then try to re-sign him in the offseason. That's what I'd do if I were the Phillies. To try to sign him, he's not going to sign. I mean, 6 years, $130 million, it's a lot to turn down. But on the open market, if you're a left-handed, you're 27, 28 years old, you've been an MVP of the World Series and been MVP of the NLCS, and you're left-handed, he's probably on the open market going to get, as Brandon Snicker has now, has another bogey on the six-hole now. He's dropped to 8-under. Adam Scott is your leader in the British Open at 9-under. So Snicker taking a dip that I thought he would, that I certainly thought he would take. If you're the Phillies, I mean, if you're Cole Hamels, you're going to wait to sign an extension, to out there and become a free agent, see what you can get on the open market. Especially pitching, is always going to be a premium, and pitchers are always going to get overpaid. And this is a guy who is a legit. Cole Hamels is arguably a legit number one starter. I mean, you can be a number one starter on probably like 90% of the teams in baseball. Again, left-hander has pitched in pressurized situations. Pitched in Philadelphia. I mean, if you can pitch in Philadelphia, you can pitch outside of New York and Boston. I don't know if there's a more pressure-packed city to pitch in. There's not, to be honest with you. So, I think on the open market, Hamels could probably get $150, $160 million. I mean, you can get a CeCe Sabathia-type contract As Woods has birdied another hole, so Woods with a couple of birdies here to get back to 6-under. That putt he almost made was almost an eagle putt that he just almost made. So Woods getting a little hot here in the last couple of holes. Roy Halladay type money, or Johan Santana type money. There's no reason why Hamels cannot get that type of contract on the open market. I mean, 6 years, $130 million is a lot of money to turn down, but he can get that type of money. So we'll see what the Phillies do with him. Victorino's gone. They're going to move him. He's older. He still has value. You get some product. There'll be a number of contenders that'll be looking for a center fielder with power and who is a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, which Victorino is. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, we'll get into a little NBA and Are You Kidding Me as well. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
One minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Nothing new with the Dwight Howard, Andrew Bynum situation. It's still probably in the hands of, I would say, on really on how quickly Orlando wants to move. Again, the Lakers are willing to take back, are willing to take a chance that Bynum will not sign an extension. The Lakers know Bynum is not going to sign an extension with him. Bynum will wait to become a free agent, then sign with the Lakers because he'll be able to get the most money from the Lakers if he were to make the trade. Not Bynum, excuse me, Dwight Howard. So that whole story with the agent coming out saying he's not going to sign an extension. Of course, nobody signs extensions anymore. If you're a staff, unless if you're a player like Andrew Bynum, excuse me, I keep saying Bynum, Dwight Howard, an established player, you don't do extensions. You wait to become a free agent so you can get the most money. I mean, you're not going to leave $25 to $30 million on the table signing an extension. Only players that sign extensions are guys who are seeking their first big paydays. I mean, the Blake Griffins of the world, Russell Westbrooks, Kevin Durant, those guys sign extensions. Because why risk waiting to become a free agent when you haven't gotten serious money yet? So, you know, guys who are like Chris Pauls, Dwight Howard, who have already gotten their first big contract, they're not going to sign extensions. That's why Chris Paul hasn't signed an extension with the Clippers yet. So, I guess, you know, one of the holdups is probably Andrew Bynum, whether or not he'll commit to Cleveland and sign an extension with Cleveland or sign with Cleveland. I can't see Andrew Bynum, Andrew Bynum, you know, would be crazy not to commit to a team that's really willing to give him $100 million. But Bynum, you know, knows that Dallas, a team like Dallas has cap space. So still a ways to go for this thing to happen. More than likely it's going to happen, but it's still going to take, it's not going to happen as quickly as we think it might, as we want it to happen. I think the media and me, everybody wants it to happen so we can stop talking about it, but Orlando is in no rush by any stretch of imagination for this thing to happen. The other big news, two other things I want to get to with the NBA, before I get to the sponsorship thing. Jeremy Lin, of course, going to Houston, Knicks not matching his offer, and to me, this was a case of personal over business. The Knicks threw a temper tantrum when Jeremy Lin and his agent went and tested the market to see how much he was worth, I don't know, open market, which is what free agency is all about. It's what you do as a free agent. You see how much you're worth so you can drive up your price possibly. And James Dolan, who will make nobody forget about, who nobody in Knick land certainly cares for, nor should they. I would feel like my team was cursed as long as Dolan is on there. James Dolan goes out there and, you know, throws a tantrum, gets upset, and then goes and doesn't resign Dolan. We have a caller on here. His name looks familiar, so we'll see who it is. Caller, what's your name? Where you from?
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
I am doing fine. It's finally cooled off down here. It's about 70 degrees.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, I'm kind of embarrassed that you put me on air because I wasn't able to hear the show properly online, so what I did was I called in so that I could continue to listen, And yep. I've totally been blasted with the warning voice. The voice hasn't kicked in yet. I was going to comment, but I was just kind of waiting for the right time. And, yeah, so good morning.
Good morning. What were you going to comment on?
No, I didn't want to comment yet. I was still listening before I went there, but see, you messed it up for me. You know, I like taking notes and listening.
You do. Can you please announce yourself? I know who you are. Can you please? You want to stay secret? That's what you. You don't have to announce. I will announce you. If you don't want to be announced, I will not announce.
It's all good. I'm good. It's Dee Perez coming from from the A-Town, who also thoroughly enjoys this show and used to co-host with him on my own show at one point. But it's all about you right now, baby. It's all about you.
Considering the type of stuff you talk about, I'm going to, because I like to take care of my guests, I'm going to, and we only have about 12 minutes left, so this will take us to the end of the show. I apologize to my college football fans. I'll get to you next week on the championship preview. And ironically, it's ironic because I was going to preview the Georgia Bulldogs, who I think are legit national title contenders for football. So I'll get to Georgia. I got you next week as far as that previewing you guys. But of course, everybody knows what transpired in Aurora, Colorado yesterday or Thursday night into Friday morning. And I thought about leading the show with it, and I was like, think about what angles I could take from it, but I chose not to because I read and I watched stuff on CNN about it, but I just chose not to lead the show with it because it's the type of thing that you could do an entire show on, to be honest with you. But when it gets to a point to where you can't even go to watch a movie, it's just that's scary. That is very, like, people actually thought that that was a part of the show. Of the whole Batman experience.
Yeah, I know.
This dude was dressed in all black tactical gear. He had, like, army stuff on, chest protector. He had a crotch protector, knee pads. I mean, just from head to toe, this dude was dressed like he was going to battle. And
looked like he came from Batman's world.
Yeah. He looked like.
And what I mean is, he just wasn't living in reality.
Right.
He was very smart, as a matter of fact.
He was studying for his PhD and dropped out not too long ago. So he.
The thing is, not to cut you off, but to jump into that topic. The thing is, in our society, I mean, whoever knew the day would get to the point where somebody was broke enough and thought it was okay to smoke bath salts. You just don't know what's going through people's heads on a daily basis. This is one of those cases that are so sensitive because kind of like 9/11 or not even going to 9/11, going back to Colorado when they had their first Columbine shooting, one thing is they're not a right to bear arms state. I definitely don't think he could have went somewhere like Georgia where everybody would have pulled their pistol right back out. But, it's just one of those situations where so many unanswered questions, so many why, and what desired him to even get to this point where he thought whatever was going on in his life should affect everybody else. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think I was watching Dateline last night, and I became emotional to the fact that one of the people that was killed, this female, she was also, too, a part of the Columbine shooting.
Wow.
And, like her mother said, it was at one point where they had thought that she would never experience a moment like that again in her life where a gunman was, taking innocent lives, and here she goes years later at age 25, and her life is taken by a gunman.
Yeah.
A movie theater.
Yeah.
Of all ways to pass away. And then you had a mother who lost her 3-month-old child. It was just so much going on. I just give my prayers, I give my condolences, and all I can say is you have to continue to live your life, though. You can't live in fear, you know. You can't live hesitating and wonder what your next step is going to be when you step out in this crazy world. We just have to step out on faith, unfortunately. That's the best answer I can give. But, you know, I wouldn't stop taking my kids to the movie theater or enjoying a dinner or lunch with my family. You just have to continue on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you have to live your life. One thing I don't do anymore, I don't do movies at night, hardly. I rarely do movies at night. I just don't like it. And I have no fear of the violence. I don't think about that aspect. But just the crowd, especially something like Batman. I'm going to see Batman, but I'm going to see it on a little vacation here. I'll go see it, you know, Monday morning. So, you know, it'll probably still be a lot of people anyway.
Matinees will be cheaper.
Yeah, and it's cheaper. But, the economics always, you know, factors. But, you know, I hadn't done too many. Last movie I went to see Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man. Went to see about 7 o'clock. So, we, you know, in by 7, out 9:30, the whole big crowd was coming in. I was like, yep, see you. I'm going home. Bye.
Granddaddy.
I know. I don't like late night, real late night movies. I just don't. Now, if somebody really wants to go, if a date really wants to go and she pressed to go 10 o'clock at night, okay. But if it's by my choice, you know, I just don't like the crowds. The crowds just, you know, I just don't like, especially on opening nights or big premiere nights or movies like The Batman or Avengers, you know, something like that. So that won't
change. And I just wait for my bootleg man to get it. My bootleg man get it about the same time the movie comes out.
Save
your
$20. Cause you're gonna spend $20.
$5, I get 2 CDs. Yeah, I'm straight. I can get Spider-Man and Batman, and like Future said, watch them at the same damn time. So, you know.
But how about the fact that? And I heard this from like a few people, survivors. That they mentioned how calm this dude was as he was just, you know, spraying bullets all over the place. They said how just
he
was
crazy.
So,
he reloaded, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
They said it was a moment of silence, a brief silence, and that was him reloading his bullets. And they're also talking about, I know this kind of gets off subject, but it doesn't, but they actually had a doctor bring up something called the heroic syndrome.
Right.
And they said during situations or dangerous situations such as this, did you know that statistically, being researched now, the person or the racial profile that they've given of the people that have been more helpful in stressful situations is Black males and Hispanic males. Not Black women or Hispanic women or the whole Caucasian race, period, or even other races. They said in dangerous situations, a Black man or Hispanic man is more liable to be helpful or put himself in the line of danger before a Caucasian or a different race will. And now they're trying to study why. Because some of the heroic actions apparently that happened, like, you know, with people being covered and, you know, help being pushed out of the theater or whatever it was Black men who had put themselves in the line of fire.
Wow.
And, you know, now they're like, why is that? And in my opinion, I think Black man has been brought down so long, now he's going to be the first one to lift you up. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I know exactly where I'm trying to go with that. I don't know if my African-American culture understands where I'm going with that. We've been brought down so much. I'm sure a Black man is like, you know, he's the first one probably to put himself in a situation. That doesn't mean a white man wouldn't or an Asian guy, or that's totally not what that means. But I did find that really interesting because
that is.
Apparently there was two different points in this tragic situation. One, there was a family a mother, a husband, and her two kids, both under the age of three. And the father, you know, the mother was visibly shaking. She was crying. She couldn't get her words out. And the dad, he was talking, but he was shaking.
Yeah, I saw the interview.
Oh, you saw it? You saw it?
Yeah,
really
I saw the interview. Yeah, he was.
He didn't want. He didn't want to run across the movie theater because he knew he would be a target with the baby in his hand. And a black guy actually covered him as he ran with his baby.
Wow.
How hot is that?
That's yeah. Well, at least the dude who tried to save him, I mean, who saved him, is still alive. So at least not a situation where he lost his life as well. But that is, like I said, I can't, like, anybody who says how they responded in that situation, you don't know unless you've been in a theater with bullets are spraying.
Or just put in a dangerous situation in a small area.
Yeah, in a small right with a lot of people. I mean, 200 people. You're talking about 200 people. I guess the first instinct would have been to get down, but again, it's not like you know, you're either gonna get down or you're gonna find the nearest exit. But depending on where you're sitting at, you're in the middle. If you're in the middle, there's really just
you're no man's land. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, I totally thought about that yesterday. I was thinking, if I'm put in a dangerous situation, I'm gonna have to start really observing my surroundings. One being, if I'm in a movie theater, I need to start sitting on corners. Maybe not at the bottom, but damn sure not in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the middle is the place to sit. Yeah, the middle is the place everybody likes to sit because it, you know, gives you the best.
Because it's directly, best view.
Right, gives you the best view.
But excuse my language.
Yeah,
what do we do? Thank you for Blog Talk Radio, where I can speak my mind like that. But, you know, fuck that. What do you know? Now we're in a situation where we're taking the kids to the movie, and we're like, now just in case we get shot, where do you think is the best place to sit? Like, I mean, it's crazy.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
It's also the same for parking. You know, we have a situation here, and I hate bringing it up because it's sensitive for a lot of people. But when Hurricane Katrina first occurred, and I don't mean to get off subject, but it definitely pertains to what we're talking about. When Hurricane Katrina first occurred and we had people moving in the Georgia area, we had a situation where women were being held at gunpoint and raped in the parking lot.
Yeah,
raped and robbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rape and rob. I mean, it's one thing you're going to rob me, but you got to rape me too. You know, and it got to the point where they were telling women, you know, park towards the front. Park just, like, everywhere you go, you have to really think to yourself, what's the best place for me to be while I'm in this location? Just in case I get put in a crazy predicament.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's to the point, I'm at the point where I need doors locked. I don't even like the way we used to do in the 80s. I don't even keep my door open. You know, I want them closed. I need to see who's around, which neighbor's is doing what, who's smoking bath salt. I just need to know. The world's crazy. That's why DA ain't making no kids. Exactly why I ain't crazy.
Yeah, you know, Colorado again. And, you know, from what I understand, I've never been to Colorado before, but from what I understand, just, you know, a lot of cities, a lot of states. And, of course, Colorado has inner cities just like every other city in America, and they have things that go on like just like every other city. But for the most part, from what I understand, Colorado is basically a lot of quiet communities. It's a lot, you know, you're not going to hear a lot of stuff
that's
coming out of Colorado on the regular.
But every time you hear from them every 10 years, they have a mass gunman going crazy.
Exactly. When this hit, I mean, Columbine was off. You know, I mean, I was in college when that happened. That was just crazy. But when it hits, it goes. And you know, I wonder what the perception is going to be now. It's not the state of Colorado, but I wonder, as to my listening sports audience, Tiger Woods has just birdied a hole, so he's 7 under now, 3 strokes behind the leader. So Tiger playing well, looking to stay in the mix for the British Open. I wonder why. I wonder what people are going to do in terms of going to the movie theaters. I wonder how, you know, are ticket sales going to go down? Certainly it's going to have an effect on
I doubt
people.
It.
You don't think so?
Not at all. I think it's going to be kind of the adverse effect. I just had this conversation last night over coffee. I think it's going to, because people are crazy. We like a little craziness in our life. I hate to say it like that. I don't know any proper way to say it, but I don't think this will, I think maybe for some people, such as moms, you know, with their kids and things of that nature, that may give them a second thought on enjoying a day at the movies. But I think for a regular moviegoer, they're going to keep going, because they said yesterday the lines were packed after the shooting. You would think the movie theater, and get this, how ghetto is that? The movie theater didn't even close down, people.
Oh, yeah, business
after
is business.
After he was caught, they kept going.
Yeah, business is business. Money, yeah, money talks. Yeah, money talks. Business and they're
know,
not, there's
not
no way to be close down a Batman week, a Batman opening weekend. It's not, that's too much money. That's too much money to lose. They're not, there was no way they're going to close down.
They actually had people go to the movies in honor of the people who couldn't watch the movie. Like they said, it was packed with people who were paying respects to the people who just couldn't enjoy a movie.
Right.
So they came right after the shooting. And my concern is copycat killer.
Yeah.
Who now wants to put on the best of thinking they can pull the same move? That's my concern. And
yeah.
Where the hell is it?
Yeah. How about, you've probably been all more on top of it more than I have. How about the security aspect? Was, like, just nobody found it strange that this guy was dressed like in all tactical gear walking into a theater? There was just, people just thought he was dressing up for the show.
That's not how it happened. From what I know, watching Diane Sawyer, he actually looked like a movie patron.
Okay.
They said, for witnesses who saw this man, he was in the movie theater, he was sitting among the patrons,
right.
He pulled out a cell phone,
okay.
And acted like he got a phone call.
Uh-huh.
Stepped out of the movie theater.
It got changed, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently he geared up and came back and went ham.
Okay, so he probably like left. So yeah, he thought this was a thought out plan. So he probably left some stuff. Probably left his stuff in the bathroom or something. And had a fake phone call. Whatever. Yeah, makes sense. And from what I understand, I did hear about this, that he had the police went back to his apartment. He had booby traps set up in his apartment where they had to, like...
he was ready.
Yeah, they had police climbing on ladders. Ladder just get into his apartment. It's like, he said he was somewhere else. Clearly had just lost it and was ready, was basically ready to die in many ways. So, people go, they go. And like I said, some stuff that I've read on this dude, you mentioned earlier, this dude was a PhD student that dropped out. Neighbors who, say how quiet he was, kept the shades down, what have you. When he's growing up, they say he was quiet but smart, top of his class, 1%, whatever, that, valedictorian type. So, this dude, obviously, he clearly knew what he was doing. As far as, unloading the guns.
Quiet, a loner.
Right.
All those times girls start looking for that. And they say, oh, he keeps to himself. He's really quiet. Yeah, he's crazy.
He's
a loner. Check him out.
You never know what's on someone's mind. I tell my kids all the time in school, you cannot be talking trash, talking junk to just anybody. People you don't know. Somebody going to snap on you.
Right, you don't know who's thinking what.
You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're thinking. Leave people alone. I'm amazed, and I'm not to just totally get off the subject, but I'm amazed when I catch a train lot down in D.C., and I'm amazed how, a dude or people would just randomly approach other people, not so much ask for money, but just... these kids just mess with random people and, you, this dude could pull out a knife and really and cut you and stab you. Do you understand? Yeah, I guess you're so young and stupid, but do you understand that you don't know who you're dealing with or who you're messing with?
People don't have a conscience.
They don't. No,
and
then they don't.
Let's not add the, you know, bipolar tendencies for some of them. Drugs play.
Absolutely.
Play a part. And you just, and then you add all of this to the recipe for disaster. You know, some, I even hate to say this, lack of education can make a fight bigger than what it's supposed to be. Sometimes when we're ignorant to something, we get upset quicker. You know, we lash out quicker because we don't have the vocabulary to handle it, so we only know how to handle it with our fists. And if we don't know how to fight, then we only know how to handle it with a gun. So,
what do you take, like, if, I don't know if there's a lesson to be learned from here. Maybe, what do you take from this all together? Like, what, you know, what is the thing that you'll take away from this? Obviously, the victims come first and foremost, but in terms of if there's a moral to the story or if there's something that you...
Moral to the story is live your life.
Okay.
Live your life to the fullest. Do not shortcome yourself. Stop procrastinating on you. Stop stressing about the bullshit and worry about the real shit. You have got to live for you. Stop picking and choosing what affects you and just be human. I know that you have a diverse audience. I go back to my black people again. If you stress and put all this energy in Trayvon Martin, a child whose life was taken, unfortunately, also take time to remember that it goes beyond just him or just an incident of racism. We are now in an incident of just trying to live every day. We have to remember as human beings, we have to learn to love. Love comes first. If you don't know how to love, do you know how, you don't know how to reciprocate it or to how to give it, how to take it, how to receive it. And then you keep a wall up and you keep your issues and your burdens to yourself, and then you allow them to affect other people in a manner such as this. You have to live your life. When you walk out that door today, whoever pissed you off yesterday should have no reason to piss you off today. Anybody who, you know, puts you in a negative tone or mood or allows you to feel a certain type of aggression, when they come in your energy, you need to ask God to deliver you from that. You need to find out what you're here for, what is your mission, and when you figure out those entities, those products, those factors in your life, you won't worry about anything else. You can walk out of here on faith. It doesn't matter what craziness is around you. He will deliver you from it if you just live for you. For those families that passed away or for those people, at least by the end of the day, if I have to take positive out of it, they are living their life. You know, and now only God can take it from there, and it's not for us to judge. I pray for the man who did it to them. I pray for his family and for the scrutiny that they're going to go under because it's not their fault. You just got to live. Just live.
How about that aspect? I heard comments from his family saying, you know, we, of course, how devastated they were, and they just, you know, obviously hearts went out to the victims, and, you know, they said what you expected them to say, and, you know, please respect our privacy, which we should respect their privacy. Because, you know, you can't imagine, you know, here you go. Now, again, we don't know what went on in their household over the course of the years. But, listen, the bottom line is, I'm just looking at the facts. The kid went to college and was doing well, so they must have did something right. So I can't say that this was a household where they were just raising him to be a killer. No, you know, this dude, they obviously allowed him to be himself, and whether that was a loner or whatever, they allowed him to be him. I'm sure there were some conversations in that household saying, why don't you have any friends? I'm sure that came up. That's only natural. I'm sure that came up. But whatever with that.
Times that people ignored.
Right. He was ignored by his family. I'm sure when, you know, it happens all the time in households. That's just, you know, that's life. A lot of times in different households. But overall, you have to say that these their parents did, you know, they put him in a position to succeed by him being able to go to college. A lot of kids don't make it to college, no matter how smart they are with financially or just situation. So this dude went to college, was going to get his PhD. And, you know, if you're his parents right now, I can't imagine what you would be thinking, what would be going on in your mind at this point in time right now.
Me either. But what I can tell you is it's something that's going to take time. Time will heal everything, you know. But these are just those tragedies that you don't want to hear about. You don't want to believe that 70 people were affected for one man's issues, basically. But, you know, that's a wrap.
Yeah. Well, D, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
You're always welcome. Always welcome
you
on the show.
Me with the horse boys. I don't want to.
You know what?
You
always. This is what you have to do. And next time, I'll give you time to, you know, get you some tea, some lemon, some honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has a morning voice before every show. I have to drink a cup of tea. I have to drink a cup of tea and puts my voice in a good place.
That's
what
I have 6 hours for
it to come in. I don't have 6 hours. I'm not getting up 6 hours before a show. You said it takes like 6 hours. 6 hours to get your voice straight. So people are like, So you don't want to talk for 6 hours. You don't want to talk for 6 hours. When you get up.
Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on this on a much obviously lighter note. What do you think about the NBA putting advertisements on jerseys now? On jerseys, that's going to start in 2013, 2014. I didn't get to it on my program earlier before you called. What do you think about that? Because allegedly it's going to happen.
I think I'm going to stop watching the game because I'm going to be more focused on the sale than I'm looking at on the back of this jersey.
Really? So that it would distract you?
Totally. I'm going to be looking at the outfits now. Totally not looking at the
game. I can see women,
We're visual people.
Yeah, we are visual people. And you make a great point because NBA players are probably the most visible athletes in the world because all they have on is shorts, tank top, and sneakers. So that's why they get some of the biggest endorsements. That's why everybody knows them. And even NFL players, as popular as the NFL is, you look on TV, you only know the players because of their numbers. But they're covered.
Right.
The NFL players are covered from head to toe, helmets, you know, 40 pounds worth of pads on. NBA players are without question out of four sports, out of four major sports: hockey, football, baseball, basketball. NBA players are the most visible of the athletes. That's going to be very interesting when it comes. It's going to happen. It's going to put well over $100 million of added revenue in terms of in the owner's pockets. So it's already a done deal. It's the only reason why it didn't happen this year is because they're going to give teams and they're going to give teams and players a year to kind of eliminate the conflict of interest. Like a guy, you know, sells Nike. The jersey might have Reebok on, so they're gonna take a whole year to work all those kinks out for it to come in 2013, 2014. But it's going to happen. I always thought about jerseys as being, you know, you looking at it, you see a jersey and you don't pay too much attention to it. But now it's like, do you really want to look at, you know, five or six different small advertisements on jerseys? When does it get to a point where it's like, come on, like why, like really, how many advertisements can we put on? I wonder when it gets to a point to where other schools, not schools, but other sports start copycatting and say, hey, y'all made, how much money did you make? $150 million of added revenue? With, yeah. Like, if you're an NHL who struggles with
it. Yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
So the NBA is smart here from a standpoint. David Stern is a great businessman, as we all know. The NBA was not international before David Stern came into office back in 84. So he, from a financial standpoint, Stern has done a fabulous job of marketing the NBA all around the world, hence, you know, with the Olympics and what have you. So this is going to start a trend. The NBA was first to jump on this, and they're going to start a trend in terms of the four major sports. Soccer already does it, and they've been doing it for years, having advertisements on their jerseys. But so, I mean, this is big from a standpoint, from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going that. I could see it as a distraction, though. For you're going to get fans, like you said, female fans, especially who look at fashion and things like that, are going. They will be paying more attention to the guys, you know, to what's on the jersey than the actual game itself. I could definitely see that.
I'm just going to see a bunch of moving advertisements all over the place.
Even though as much money as it will put in the league, I wonder, will that keep, and it probably won't, will that keep the rabid NBA fans who buy jerseys from buying jerseys? Because I wouldn't want a jersey with a bunch of advertisements on it. You know,
have to buy jerseys like that too?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think that they would have jerseys. Maybe they'll have jerseys without the advertisements, but I would think that if a company is paying to have the advertisement on the jersey, that they would.
So everybody can do it. Right.
Right.
I get it.
So I would think that would be the case, you know.
I mean, gosh, is it that easy?
Is that, yeah. It's the power of the dollar. It's America. We are capitalists. We are a capitalist society. So money moves mountains in America. Well, that's going to wrap it up, Dee. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Call back anytime. Anytime.
I surely will. I always love the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, everybody. Thank you, guys. You have a great one.
All right, you too.
All right.
That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Thank you. We certainly thank Dee Perez for joining me. Certainly, certain things that we didn't get to, we'll get to them. We'll get to them next week. NFL, we'll start NFL previews probably first week of August. Georgia, we'll do college football previews next week as well with the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll do that next week. Catch a replay of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call anytime. It will be posted on Facebook and various websites, you know, SurrealGeraldQuinn.com, at William Gerald on Twitter. So you'll be able to catch a replay if you could not catch this show live. Have a great week. Enjoy the British Open. So long.